Isaiah chapter 9. And the verse 6 is our text for this evening. As we've already pointed out, this verse sets out 5 wonderful titles for the Lord Jesus Christ. Over the incoming weeks in the will of the Lord, I want to look at these names. Beginning tonight with that first name, namely Wonderful. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. The names that we are given at birth help to identify who we are. But those names say nothing about what we are. Our personal names do not say anything about our character or our personality. Our names do not say anything about our strength or our weaknesses. This, of course, in contrast to the many names which have been given to the Son of God. And the reason he has so many names, I read somewhere, I don't know whether it's true or not, that the Lord Jesus in the scriptures is given 365 names. A name for each day of the year. I could well believe it. But here the Lord has given many names. And the reason he has so many names is because his nature is so complex that one name can never tell everything there is to know about the Lord Jesus. They were told to call his name Jesus, for he would save his people from their sin. And so there is a name that tells us that Jesus Christ is the Savior of men. For his name means Savior. And so you can see his name tells us something about who Christ is. You take the name Christ. Christ means anointed. And so the Lord Jesus is the anointed Savior. He is anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. When he began his ministry in Nazareth, he opened the book at Isaiah 61 and told his hearers that this day this word is fulfilled in their ears. And he spoke there about the Spirit of the Lord being upon him or anointing him. And so the Lord Jesus is the Christ, the anointed Savior. He is called the Son of God. Now that tells us something of his deity. He's the Son of Man, a name the Lord Jesus always used in referring to himself. The Son of Man tells us then something of his humanity. But even these names do not tell everything there is to know about him. He must be called the Word. He's called the Light. He's called the Redeemer. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valleys. He is the great I Am. But still these names do not say everything that there is to say about him. He must be called the Son of Righteousness, the Messenger of the Covenant. He's called the Man of Sorrows. He's called the Son of David. He's called the Root of Jesse. He's called the Chief Cornerstone. He's called Emmanuel. He's called the Lamb of God. And all these names and 1,000 more tell us who Christ is. Every name means something. And every name says something about the Lord Jesus. Give him 1,000 names with meaning and still you would not have found out all there is to know about our blessed Savior. This we can see in our text before us. He who is the child born is also the Son who is given. He has the government upon his shoulders. And the Father calls him wonderful. You would think wonderful would be enough, sufficient to sum up all that Christ is. But no. He not only calls him wonderful, he calls him counselor. He's the only counselor we need. He's not only called wonderful and counselor, the Father has also added the title, the Mighty God. And then he also adds the title, the Everlasting Father. Does that not show you how complex the nature of Christ is? Because the verse begins, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and now one of his titles is the Everlasting Father. Or that title, as we will see in a few weeks' time, the Everlasting Father, means the Father of eternity. He's the Father of eternity. And then the Father said he's the Prince of Peace. Five names given to the Son. And yet five names that still do not reveal all there is to know and be found in Jesus Christ. We'll begin with the first of those names. And he shall be called Wonderful. There are a thousand things in this world that are called by names that do not belong to them. I think that word hero is banded about very loosely today. The true heroes are the men and women in Afghanistan who are fighting the Taliban and preserving our freedom. They are the real heroes. Someone like Terry Fox, to me, is a hero. I didn't know much about him. We didn't know much about him. And it was just about that time when we came to Canada that he was running across this great nation. And what he did was something to be admired. He's a hero. Names are banded about so easily. But here our blessed Savior is called Wonderful. Because he is so. He is wonderful. This name wasn't given to him under false pretenses. He is wonderful. God the Father never gave his Son a name which he did not deserve. And those who know him best can from experience say, yes, Jesus Christ is wonderful. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful Lord. He's a wonderful Captain. He's a wonderful Leader. He's a wonderful Conqueror. Tonight, I want to consider Christ as a wonderful friend. For when we came to know him, we found immediately that he was a wonderful Savior. And then the more we got to know him, we discovered he was a wonderful friend. And look at how it is put here in the text. And his name shall be called Wonderful. The Father didn't say his name is wonderful, although that's true. But the Father said he shall be called Wonderful. And that's how it was with us. There was a time when we didn't know him. We had no time for Christ. But when we were regenerated by the Spirit of God and saved by grace and washed in the blood, then, and only then, did we call him Wonderful. The Father is right. He shall be called Wonderful. And everyone who comes to know him shall call him Wonderful. He is indeed a wonderful friend. He's a wonderful friend because he loves us. Wonderful friend because he loves us. Friends are those who have a love for us. And Christ is a true friend. That is one of the reasons why he is such a wonderful friend. And when we look at his love, we see that his love is supreme love. That is, he poured out his love upon others. He poured out his love upon us. He poured out his love upon you and me when we didn't ask to be loved. When we didn't want to be loved by Christ. When we didn't deserve to be loved, but still he loved us. That's the mark of a true friend, a wonderful friend. Because a wonderful friend that Jesus is the one who loved us. His love is supreme. Because he first of all, he loved us first. And the only thing that we loved was our sin. That's when Christ loved us. No. No, he loved us even before that. He loved us when we lay as a babe in our mother's arms. He loved us then. Yes, he did, but he loved us far longer before that. Much longer than that. Before the Lord created man, was it then that he loved us? Did he love us when he made Adam and Eve and put them in the garden? Is that when he began to love us? No, he loved us before that. Did he love us when he made the sun to rule the day and made the moon to rule the night? Did he begin loving us then? No, he loved us before that. He loved us first. He loved us before the foundation of the world. And dear child of God, let us never forget that Christ loved us before the foundation of the world. I read there last week about two ladies and they became very good friends 30 years ago. One of them tossed a bottle into the sea with her name and address on it. And another lady found the bottle and corresponded with this lady whose name was in the bottle. And they said they've been friends for 30 years. That's a very nice story. But do you know how long ago Christ befriended me and you? Not 20 years ago, not 30, not 40, not 50, not 100, not 1,000. He befriended you and me before the foundation of the world. He loved us first. Is that not the mark of a true friend? And Christ is a true friend. He not only loved us first, he loved us freely. It's not really the mark of a true friend who says, I will love that brother or that sister if they do this or if they do the other thing. That's not true love, true Christian love. We will love one another no matter what we do. And the Lord Jesus Christ loved us freely. There is no limit to the love of Christ. There's no holding back the love of the Lord Jesus. His love for us is not based upon how much we love him. And never run away with that idea. Never let the devil get you down. Because he would get you down. There are those times when we know we don't love the Lord the way we should. And the devil would come and get at us. And because we don't love the Lord the way we should, the devil comes and says, the Lord doesn't love you. Devil's a liar. The Lord loves us, no matter what we are. The Lord loves us no matter how much we love Him or how little we love Him. He loves us freely, freely. His love for us is not based upon how obedient we are, how busy we are for Him, or how pleasing we are to Him. He loves us as God loved His people Israel. For in Hosea 14 and verse 4, the Lord said of His people, I will love them freely. Praise the Lord. Freely, no conditions. The word freely has to do with a free will offering. The word means voluntarily or willingly. And this is how our wonderful friend loved us. Voluntarily. He loved us freely. He loved us willingly. He loved His church and He gave Himself for it. We love Him because He first loved us. There was nothing in us to induce Him to love us. He loved us voluntarily. He loved us freely. He loved us unconditionally. Is He not a wonderful friend? Of course He is. And He shall be called wonderful. And we call Him wonderful tonight. Because He loved us. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high you can't get over it. So deep you can't get under it. So wide you can't get around it. Oh, wonderful love. That's the love of our friend for His people. He loved us first and He loved us freely and He'll love us forever. Sometimes the love of a friend ebbs and flows. Sometimes hot, sometimes cold. Sometimes friends divide and separate. They don't love each other anymore. That'll never happen with the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll love us forever. And again, His love for us does not depend upon what we have done. The love of our wonderful friend is consistent. Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That's our friend. A friend loveth at all times. All times. Even when we offend Him, He loves us. When we feel Him, He loves us. When we grieve Him, He still loves us. His love is consistent. His love does not ebb and flow. His love does not blow hot and cold. When He loved us before the foundation of the world, He loves us exactly the same today. Because He's the unchanging God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God is unchanging and unchangeable, so are His attributes. And God loves us, and He'll love us forever. That means it's not only a consistent love, it's a continual love. And all who know Him have proven the love and the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ over the years. Jesus, my Lord will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. That's the continual, eternal love of Christ. He'll never withdraw that love. He will never withhold that love. That love shall never wither. With the passing of time and the passing of eternity, Christ, our wonderful friend, will love us still. And when we've been there 10,000 years, Christ will still love us the same. I want you to notice, not only is it a supreme love, it's a sacrificial love. This is why Christ is such a wonderful friend, for he has said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15, verse 13. Mark the words of the Savior. He said, greater love hath no man. So there is no greater love than this, that a man lays down his life for his friend, and he's speaking about himself. He's speaking of his love for his people. And he's saying to his disciples, you can search the whole wide world over, but you will not find a love greater than mine. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus Christ laid down his life for his friends. It was all in the plan of God. The plan of salvation involved the love of Christ. The one who would die for guilty, hell-deserving sinners must surely have loved those for whom he died. And he did. Because we could say to him tonight, Lord, did thou love me when I was in my sin? And he would say, yes, I love thee. We can say, didst thou love me when I ran from thee and ran from thy spirit? Yes, I loved thee then, my love pursued thee. Didst thou love me when I put my hand to that hammer that nailed thee to the cross? Yes, I loved thee then. Didst thou love me when I stood with the crowd as they cried, crucify him? Yes, he can say, I loved thee then. I see the crowd in Pilate's hall. I mark their wrathful mind. Their shouts of crucify appall, with blasphemy between. But of that shouting multitude, I know that I am one. Because it was for our sins that Christ went to the cross. It was all in the plan. And Christ loved those for whom he died. It was the plan and the price. There was a price to be paid for our salvation. The price was the sacrifice of the Lamb. And surely only one who loves those for whom he would die would be willing to pay that price. And the price was suffering. The price was to be put to an open shame. The price included suffering and shedding blood. The price included being separated from God. And Jesus Christ said, I am prepared to pay that price because I love my people. I love my church. Christ loved his church and gave himself. He didn't send an angel. He gave himself. He gave himself for it. A wonderful friend of ours did not go to Calvary to prove his love. But if you want proof of Christ's love, it's there. He went to Calvary because he knew he had to die if his people were to be saved from their sin. And yes, there was love in those wounds. And there was love in that blood. And there was love in that crown of thorns. Yes, there was love. Sacrificial love. But then he's a wonderful friend because of his sympathetic love. We're familiar with the words of Hebrews 4 and verse 15. Regarding the Lord Jesus, our great high priest, the one who is touched, or the way it is put here, Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, we have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was indeed touched, and still is, with the feeling of our infirmity. He's touched in our times of infirmity, our infirmities touch Christ. He's such a sympathetic friend. We may have earthly friends, and when we have our troubles and our trials, they may come and they may sympathize with us. But they can't enter into our sorrows, but Christ can. Because he's the man of sorrows. And the Lord Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's the sympathetic friend. And so, believer, we need never fear about going to him in our time of trouble. You'll find with him there's a sympathetic ear. There's a sympathizing heart. So let us go to him in our time of need. But he's a wonderful friend because he's a loving friend. And because he's a loyal friend. Didn't he tell his disciples, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee, never. Leave thee nor forsake thee. And we prove his friendship. We prove the loyalty of his friendship in times of despair. And every one of us has been in the slough of despond and despair. We cannot go through this life without feeling and suffering despair. Wondering what the end is going to be. Wondering how we're going to get out of our troubles. Just like the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired. We despaired even of life, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, and we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Paul knew he was all right. His friend, the Lord Jesus, would be with him in his times of despair. And dearly beloved, tonight Christ will be with you and me in our times of despair. He'll stand beside us. He'll strengthen us. He'll hold our hand. He'll hold us up. He'll bear us up. He'll pray for us. For he ever liveth to make intercession for his people. Yes, and he'll be with us and be loyal to us in our time of desolation. You've experienced those times, haven't you? Whenever you felt as though you're the loneliest person in all the world. David felt that. And David, in Psalm 102, and there in verse 7, David said, I am like a pelican of the wilderness. He was out of place in the wilderness. Not the place for a pelican. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am like a sparrow alone upon the housetop. I watch and am like a sparrow alone upon the housetop. And that's when the Lord will come. When we feel as lonely as a sparrow in the housetop. You've seen that very thing, haven't you? Cold winter nights or days, and the wind's blowing and it's raining. And there's a solitary sparrow sitting there on the housetop. David says, there've been those times that I have felt as lonely as that. But dear Christian, we're never alone while Christ is with us. Because he's the one knows all about loneliness. He was alone for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. He was alone in Gethsemane. He was alone in Calvary. And then he's also a loyal friend in time of death. My, that's when we prove the friendship of Christ. Most of all. And that's when we will prove his friendship. In time of death. We go down the valley with our face towards the setting of the sun. We enter into the cold waters of Jordan. We enter into the valley that's deep. There'll be a light in the valley. And that light is Jesus Christ. And I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's what a friend is all about. But then we see how that he's a wonderful friend because he is liberal. Our friend is not tight-fisted. Our friend will give us more than ever we ask for. We read there in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. And with this we'll close. That he'll give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down, and shaken together, running over, and shall men give unto your bosom. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let us pray.